It's about to get real. Let's join Deaconess Earlene De Silva as she ministers. You can break the law, but not the Lord.
My topic for tonight is, you can break the law, but not the Lord. My main scripture for tonight is verses 1 and 2. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word, now and throughout. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained, Jewish and Gentiles who lived in Rome. Although he lived in the world under the law of the land, he continuously spread the gospel, encouraging the Gentiles and Jews to follow God's law. Paul's mandate was to build an airtight case for the Lord's humanity and the necessity for God's intervention in our lives. Paul means for us to live in a complete submission to Christ by using spiritual gifts, loving each other, and living as good citizens according to the text that you have heard tonight. So what is law and why was it given? In simple terms, laws are a set of rules created and enforceable by social or governmental behavior that bind all people living in a community. Laws are to protect our general safety and ensure our rights as citizens against abuses by other people, by organizations, and by the government itself. Laws also raise important and complex issues concerning equality, fairness, and justice. That's according to Wikipedia.com. There are so many categories of laws, but here are just a few. We have public law, which concerns government and society, including constitutional law, administrative law, and criminal law. Then there's private law, which deals with legal disputes between individuals and or organizations in areas such as contracts, property, and commercial. Then we have moral law. It's a general rule of right living. Such a rule or group of rules conceived as universal and unchanging are as having the sanction of God's will of conscience, of man's moral nature, of natural justice as revealed to human reason. This is where we get human rights. The basic protection of rights is the moral law based on man's dignity. Moral law applies to all people and should not be changed to suit just a few. We see today where men are trying to change the laws to suit their evil and wicked ways, saying it's their right. Then we have Moses' law, which was written by Moses through meditation with God to Israel. The law of Moses is found in the Old Testament books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You can usually identify these laws because they are often with the same with this wording, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying." According to Jewish tradition, there are 613 such laws. And if interested in reading these laws, there's a website that's on the screen that you can look it up. Then we have the most precious of laws, and that's God's law, which was directly written by the finger of God himself on two tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments, or Decalogue, found in Exodus 5, are a set of biblical principles relating to ethics and worship that play a fundamental role in Judaism and Christianity. In James 2, verse 10, for whosoever keeps the whole law and yet stumble at just one point is guilty of breaking all of them, all of it. Here I have a pen. How many of us have used the pen and walked off with it instead of leaving it? Or driving over that speed limit? And I know there's quite a few of us that do that. We may not get caught, but we are breaking the law. Breaking the law by choice or not, we are lawbreakers. Turbo Beta quotes, if you violate laws of God, you're a sinner. If you violate laws of man, you're a criminal. And if you violate your own laws, you're pathetic. Now let's delve into this topic. You can break the law, but not the Lord. And by the way, this topic was given to me at the Bermuda Day Parade last year. Go figure. And I'm going to give you the following 3 points. Point one, their way, their choice. Point two, our way, our choice. And point three, Yahweh, the only choice. Point one, their way, their choice. Where was the first law broken? I would say it was in heaven. It was that high-ranking angel named Lucifer, who had important roles. Lucifer in Hebrew means Hallel, shining one, also translated as day star. Lucifer was a sheriff who guarded the throne of God, as well as a worship leader and a singer of hymns. He was to protect, cover, and serve God. However, Lucifer became so impressed with his own beauty, his own intelligence, his own power and position, that he began to desire for himself the honor and glory that belonged to God and God alone. This self-generated pride corrupted Lucifer. In Ezekiel 28, verses 15b to 17, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee out as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering sheriff, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thine beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Iniquity in Hebrew is ovel, which means evil or unjust. Violence in Hebrew is shamas, wrong or unjust, unrighteous. And those two words are very similar in meaning, according to concordance. These actions were the beginning of sin in the world. Sin originated in the free will of Lucifer with all his issues. He chose to rebel against the Creator. His rebellion turned heaven into a demonic paradise. Working his witchcraft, he was able to bewitch one-third of the angels to follow him. God had to kick them out of heaven. Iniquity and holiness don't go together. St. Augustine quotes, it is pride that changed angels into devils. Isaiah 14, verse 12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. If God had immediately destroyed Lucifer and the angels for their rebellion, and we know he could have, but God created man with free will, choice, and the remaining angels would have served God in fear and not in love. This was not the purpose God had in mind for mankind. He gave mankind the power of choice. The government in heaven passed judgment and kicked Lucifer and his followers out of heaven. Judgment, sir. So we have seen what happened in heaven. Now let's look at the governments of this world. In Romans 13, verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. During the rule to this present day, there are so many rulers throughout the world that want to be godlike and have things running their way. Satan is spreading his iniquity, rebellion, and sin throughout the world. In Jeremiah 9, verse 13, the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it. And in Isaiah 24, verse 5, the earth is also polluted by its inhabitants, for they transgressed laws, violated statutes, broke the everlasting covenant. I put this question to you. Should we follow government's law if it goes against God's law? No, no, no. Christians, be not deceived into obeying unrighteous laws and giving support to dictatorial governments. God will never command anyone to obey human law in violation of divine law. We see today that by choice, many government leaders are lining up with the agenda of Satan. And we as believers will be persecuted for our faith in Jesus Christ. But by choice, we will stand firm and stand against Satan. God revealed through Moses that kings had no license to break the law, but were subject to those laws and responsible to know and enforce it. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 18 to 20, and when he sits the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law approved by the Levitical priest, and it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord, his God, by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandments, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. So I say this to you. It was then, it should be today. In Sunday school, we learned that there were two good kings, and they were Hezekiah and Joash, who kept the law of Moses and led the country's citizens in obedience to its statutes. And get this, all the bad kings were from Israel, who broke God's law. And the prophets like Jeremiah were tasked into calling such rulers and citizens to repentance. And today, here in Bermuda, Prophet Maria Seaman is sounding the alarms, and they are all over her for doing that and that she shouldn't be doing. Bermuda, at one stage, we were known as paradise, but guess what? We are becoming hell in Bermuda. Bermuda, you need to repent. You are being deceived. There are still good warriors here in Bermuda. Let's fight against Satan's agenda and his corruption. Just as Satan corrupted the angels in heaven, he's doing it right here on earth. Wake up. Stand for holiness. We've heard of many events of bad kings ordering or forcing their subjects to commit heinous crimes, but they feared God more and would not do them. Two examples in Egypt, two midwives who were ordered to kill males at birth. In Exodus 1, you can read it. And Dr. Woods had mentioned in ETCN that abortions, which was at one time illegal, had been passed by the governments of this world and permitting abortions, killing human life. That's breaking God's law. Do not kill. And King Nebuchadnezzar passed a decree forcing his subjects to bow down and worship a statue. And that's breaking God's law. Do not worship false gods. You can read that in Daniel 3. And now we are hearing of horrible, wicked, lustful acts that are taking place right here in our island. Do you remember some years ago when a law was passed that certain acts behind closed doors were permitted? And now, guess what? The doors have been flung wide open. Well, really, the doors have been taken off. The Bible is full of events where people are put into situations forcing them into breaking God's law. Look at each one of the Ten Commandments today. Each one is easily, out of second thought, broken. Just think about it. In Matthew 4, Satan and his God-like attitude tried to attempt Jesus while he fasted and prayed in the desert. The audacity of Satan. Our Father is the author of the word. Satan can't twist the word on Jesus. Can you imagine? If God's laws are being broken, then we are following Satan's laws, and judgment will come against you to how you will go. Satan does not win. Man's laws cannot make moral what God has declared immoral. Even if a sin is legalized, it's still a sin in the eyes of God. That's by Anonymous. Jesus is the true Son of God by lineage, who kept the law of God perfectly and earned the right to rule and reign over people forever. Unlike many of the kings and authorities of this world, Jesus will never ignore the needs of his people to satisfy himself. He will humbly serve us. This self-sacrifice should be the model for all leaders. Would you rather follow King Jesus that has your best interest at heart, or that one that makes one ugly, unholy, greedy, deceitful, lustful, willing to roll with whatever I want leader? That is being self-righteous and will lead you to damnation. Choose King Jesus, which takes me to point two, our way, our choice. So what is sin? Sin is a transgression against divine law or the law of God. It is also described as disobedience or rebellion against God. Sin is a failure to do what is right. Sin offends people, and it's violence and ultimately rebellion against God. Sin also involves a condition in which the heart is corrupted and is inclined towards evil. That's according to Wikipedia.com. Our sin nature turns us away from obeying God to doing what we want, causing us to live our way rather than God's way. Adam and his helpmeet Eve were to govern the Garden of Eden with only one law in hand. In Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17, "And the Lord commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" Satan was determined to rule. He couldn't do it in heaven, so he brought his rebellion from heaven, turning that rebellion into sin. With his wicked, prideful, deceitful ways, Satan tempted Eve with the same desire to be godlike. Satan can cite scripture for his purpose, turning scriptures to deceive and to lie. Satan, disguised as a talking serpent, approached Eve, enticing her to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, telling her, "Surely you will not die." Is that where the saying comes from, "An apple a day keeps the doctor away," Dr. Jesus? Well, guess what? By them eating that fruit that day, God had to send them away. God hates lies, and that lie brought down his creation, causing the whole human race into a sinful nature. Evil began through the fault of humans, not God. This equation that I saw, breaking God's law equals iniquity, which equals sin, which definitely equals death. When we go according to our own lust, our own flesh, that's always our law. We can't have our cake and eat it too. That's why we've got to crucify ourselves daily to break our carnality of our law, because that same fruit that Eve went for, whatever that fruit is, we go for it today. It's whatever we desire, and so that speaks to the law of mankind and not the law of God, which is present till this day. Man's way has gone from bad to worse, to worser, and to the utmost worst. The law shows us our inability to keep the law in our own strength. I wonder if that's where that saying comes, "Laws are meant to be broken." Could be. In Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We will always have conflicts with our sinful tendencies, since we are human, born into sin. But choosing God, we will and can stand firm. Skip Hertzi quotes, "A Christian should be a good citizen until being a good citizen means being a bad Christian." Paul writes in Galatians 3, verse 23 to 25, that the law served to lead us to faith in Jesus, and it reads, "Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under the guard of by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. We as Christians are under grace, but that does not give us the authority to break the law. For when we sin, we are under God's law. No part of the law shall pass away until it is fulfilled by Jesus. So when Jesus came, we are now living under the law of Christ and not beneath the law of Moses. Sanctification is through the Holy Spirit, not through religious laws. The law of Moses was nailed to the cross, not the law of God. In Romans 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And in Matthew 5, verses 17 to 18, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. And in Romans 6, verse 14, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Saints, we must be God-fearing, Bible-studying Christians that will lead us to the only choice. So with all that you have heard tonight, their way, their choice, our way, our choice, this sermon can only end with point three, Yahweh, the only choice. In John 1-4:8, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. So, who is Yahweh? Yahweh is the breath giver, the law giver, the way maker, and the judge. Amen. I could finish point three right here, but I'm not. I'm going to expound on it a little bit more. Yahweh is the sacred personal name of Israel's God, spoken only by the priest in the temple. And after the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, it wasn't pronounced any longer. Yahweh was substituted by Adonai, or Lord. In Exodus 3, verses 14 and 15, God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. Yahweh without vowels, that's W-H-W-H, is breath. Remember back then, the Hebrews do not use vowels. Very simply, you are pronounced the name Yahweh without using your lips and your tongue. It's just breath in and out. When babies are born, their very first breath is the name Yahweh. And when one dies, Yahweh is the last name saying. And I can testify to hearing for the first time Yahweh was at the birth of my granddaughter. And at the transitioning of my mom was the last. How powerful and humbling is that? When you hear his name at birth and then to hear it at death. Powerful. Guess what, sinners, atheists, and religions that don't acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, you too will speak the name Yahweh with your last breath, which proves scripture in that Yahweh is the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega. I tell you, Yahweh is breath. Without breath, you die. So in the natural, so in the spirit. In Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If our godly choice is to surrender our lives to God and keep his commandments, we will be granted access to heaven. In Revelation 22, verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Adam and Eve broke the law by eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when they committed evil, they had to be escorted out of the Garden of Eden, because you can't have evil having access to the tree of life. Evil would have reigned for eternity. Satan would have won. God sent his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to take on our sins by hanging from a tree of atonement for our sin, and by choice giving us the knowledge to accept him and giving us access back to the tree of life in eternity. Many who profess to be Christians will not enter into the kingdom of God because of their wrong or evil choices that they have made. In Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23, many will say to him in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. God is morally perfect, just and fair. He is the only one that has the right to condemn sin. In Revelation 15, verses 3 and 4, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed. In Romans 8, verse 34, who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. In 2007, I combined these scriptures that helped me with my walk, because, you know, our walk can be up and down, and it's a test that we go through. So I combined these scriptures, and it helps me a lot. Seek God first, and all blessings will be given to you. That's Matthew 6:33. Remember, though, that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent have to take it by force. Matthew 11:12. But you will overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony in Revelation 12:11. And the kingdom of God will reign forever and ever. That's Revelation 11:15. That helped me quite a bit. So no matter what you're going through, you keep all those verses in mind, you'll make it. The Bible speaks of judgment. All will be judged to see if faith was genuine and if lives matched up with the belief in Jesus Christ. And yes, I'm going to say it. Even those religions that don't follow the name of Jesus Christ will stand in front of him. For Jesus is the only way for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's no choice. He is the only choice. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The King is coming back. Make your choice right now to love and to serve him. For there's no pressing the pause button to go back and start over. It will be too late. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive his due for the things done in the body, whether good or evil. He gave us breath, Yahweh. He showed us the way, Waymaker, and will judge our ways someday. And on that day, we'll stand in front of him. What will your verdict be? Enter in, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. Judgment served. Be blessed in the Lord.